21. Gleb Anderin gazed at Namarty through half-closed eyes. He never liked the man, but there were times when he liked him less than he usually did, and this was one of those times. Why should Anderin, a Wyan of royal birth, that's what it amounted to, after all, have to work with this parvenu, this near-psychotic paranoid? Anderin knew why, and he had to endure, even when Namarty was once again in the process of telling the story of how he had built up the movement during a period of 10 years to its present pitch of perfection. Did he tell this to everyone over and over, or was it just Anderin who was his chosen vessel? Namarty's face seemed to shine with malignant glee as he said, in an odd sing-song, as though it were a matter of rote, "Year after year I worked on those lines, even through hopelessness and uselessness, building an organization, chipping away at confidence in the government, creating and intensifying dissatisfaction. When there was the banking crisis and the week of the moratorium, I..." He paused suddenly. "I've told you this many times, and you're sick of hearing it, aren't you?" Anderin's lips twitched in a brief, dry smile. Namarty was not such an idiot as not to know what a bore he was. He just couldn't help it. Anderin said, "You've told me this many times." He allowed the remainder of the question to hang in the air, unanswered. The answer, after all, was an obvious affirmative. There was no need to face him with it. A slight flush crossed Namarty's sallow face. He said, "But it could have gone on forever, the building, the chipping, without ever coming to a point, if I hadn't had the proper tool in my hands. And without any effort on my part, the tool came to me." "The gods brought you Planchet," said Anderin neutrally. "You're right. There will be a group of gardeners entering the Imperial Palace grounds soon." He paused and seemed to savor the thought. "Men and women, enough to serve as a mask for the handful of our operatives who will accompany them. Among them will be you and Planchet. And what will make you and Planchet unusual is that you will be carrying blasters." "Surely," said Anderin with deliberate malice behind a polite expression, "we'll be stopped at the gates and held for questioning. Bringing an illicit blaster onto the palace grounds..." "You won't be stopped," said Namarty, missing the malice. "You won't be searched. That's been arranged. You will all be greeted as a matter of course by some palace official. I don't know who would ordinarily be in charge of that task. The third assistant chamberlain in charge of grass and leaves, for all I know. But in this case, it will be Selden himself. The great mathematician will hurry out to greet the new gardeners and welcome them to the grounds." "You're sure of that, I suppose?" "Of course I am. It's all been arranged. He will learn, at more or less the last minute, that his foster son is among those listed as new gardeners, and it will be impossible for him to refrain from coming out to see him. And when Selden appears, Planchet will raise his blaster. Our people will raise the cry of treason. In the confusion and hurly-burly, Planchet will kill Selden, and then you will kill Planchet. You will then drop your blaster and leave. There are those who will help you leave. It's been arranged." "Is it absolutely necessary to kill Planchet?" Namarty frowned. "Why? Do you object to one killing and not to another? When Planchet recovers, do you wish him to tell the authorities all he knows about us? Besides, this is a family feud we are arranging. Don't forget that Planchet is in actual fact Rache Selden. It will look as though the two had fired simultaneously, or as though Selden had given orders that if his son made any hostile move, he was to be shot down. We will see to it that the family angle will be given full publicity. It will be reminiscent of the bad old days of the bloody Emperor Manoel. The people of Trantor will surely be repelled by the sheer wickedness of the deed. That, piled on top of all the inefficiencies and breakdowns they've been witnessing and living through, will raise the cry for a new government, and no one will be able to refuse them, least of all the Emperor. And then we'll step in."
"Just like that?"
"No, not just like that. I don't live in a dream world. There is likely to be some interim government, but it will fail. We'll see to it that it fails, and we'll come out in the open and revive the old Geranimite arguments that the Trantorians have never forgotten. And in time, in not too much time, I will be First Minister.
And I
will eventually be the Emperor. Andoran said, "The chance of all this working is small. This is arranged, that is arranged, the other thing is arranged. All of it has to come together and mesh perfectly, or it will fail. Somewhere, someone is bound to mess up. It's an unacceptable risk."
"Unacceptable? For whom? For you?"
"Certainly. You expect me to make certain that Planchet will kill his father, and you expect me to then kill Planchet. Why me? Aren't there tools worth less than I who might more easily be risked?"
"Yes, but to choose anyone else would make failure certain. Who but you has so much riding on this mission that there is no chance you will turn back in a fit of vapors at the last minute?"
"The risk is enormous. Isn't it worth it to you? You're playing for the imperial throne."
"And what risk are you taking, Chief?"
"You will remain here, quite comfortable, and wait to hear the news."
Namati's lip curled. "What a fool you are, Andoran. What an emperor you will make. Do you suppose I take no risk because I will be here? If the gambit fails, if the plot miscarries, if some of our people are taken, do you think they won't tell everything they know? If you were somehow caught, would you face the tender treatment of the Imperial Guard without ever telling them about me? And with a failed assassination attempt at hand, do you suppose they won't comb Trantor to find me? Do you suppose that in the end they will fail to find me? And when they do find me, what do you suppose I will have to face at their hands? Risk? I run a worse risk than any of you, just sitting here doing nothing. It boils down to this, Andoran. Do you or do you not wish to be emperor?"
Andoran said in a low voice, "I wish to be emperor." And so things were set in motion.